Have you ever been to a Ren Faire?
Not a real one.
Wait, you've been to a fake Ren Faire? Do you think a Ren Faire is like you actually travel back in time to the Renaissance? What? It's all fake. It's none of it's real.
I don't know why I said that. Don't. I think I meant like I have seen them on television.
I've never been to a Ren Faire, but I did watch the first season of Game of Thrones.
Well, that is basically the same. How are you this week, Georgia?
I'm pretty good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've gotten to a point in Breath of the Wild, the Zelda video game, where I am kind of not stuck. I'm not stuck, mm-hmm. but it's hard, and so I've had to like start over from the same spot like 50 times.
Right. So. Wow. Yeah. Have you established yourself as a gamer girl on this podcast yet? I feel like we talked about it a little bit.
We might have. We might have talked about it before the podcast. I was never like a gamer before the pandemic. And then I got a Switch for Tucker for Christmas. And now I play minimum an hour of Breath of the Wild a day, probably. I just played it for like 2 hours after therapy.
Yeah, that's extremely understandable. I feel like we all picked up things during the pandemic that I'm trying to think of what I guess like macrame. I don't know. I did that for like a week and I was like, this is boring. So, but yeah, I think we can all relate.
Yeah. I mean, like, would I have liked to pick up a more practical skill? Yes. Did I pick up another distraction? Absolutely.
Wow. Listen, I don't think anybody blames you for that. It's like, he without sin be the first to condemn. from the Bible.
I think that is from the Bible. Who went to Catholic school for a few years?
So anyway, welcome back, everyone.
Here's the thing. I actually know that quote more from Rent than from the Bible.
That's true. That's probably how I know it.
Yeah.
It's in the Bible, but I know it from
the musical Rent.
That's true. They say it in La Vie Boheme. Mm-hmm. That's probably where I also know it. But yeah, so welcome back, everybody, to Do We Still Dig This? Etc. etc.
I'm Georgia Gove.
And I'm Grace Wilbur. There you go. There you go. I said it. So go ahead, Georgia. What are we talking about this week?
This week we are talking about Regina Spektor, who is if people don't know, she is a musician. Mm-hmm. She's a songstress.
She is a songstress. She's like one of the people I feel confident saying, like classifying her as a songstress. Because yes. She just definitely has that vibe. I feel like she's part of the like early mid-2000s quirky girl starter pack.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Along with like Imogen Heap.
Kate Nash.
Fiona Apple, among others. Fiona Apple's a little bit more 90s. Yeah. But yeah, I think that a lot of people know Regina Spektor these days from the theme song to Orange is the New Black.
Yes.
Back in our day, she was very known for 500 Days of Summer. She was on the soundtrack to that. Mm-hmm. I think with Us.
Yes. Oh, she was also on Kubo and the Two Strings.
Oh, that movie. Yeah, that's more recent. But she was definitely, when she first came out, she was more known for Us and the song. And then Begin to Hope, I feel like, was her big.
Yeah, Begin to Hope, I think, was her first. So when I was reading, and not her first album, but her first, like album recording with her, like, because she independently recorded Soviet Kish. Mm-hmm. But I think Begin to Hope was like her first with a record label, with like a major record label.
Yeah.
Which then, you know, like put like the song that probably everybody knows is Fidelity. You know, like that was mm-hmm. big in yep. 2006 when that came out. I remember that from my first year of high school. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It was like, was it on MTV? I don't know if MTV was playing music videos at that point anymore, but I remember seeing that music video on like an MTV or like maybe it was VH1.
VH1, yeah.
But I remember seeing that music video and really liking it. Because it is like what's interesting. I listened actually while I was playing 2 hours of Breath of the Wild today. I listened to, it was kind of my excuse. I was like, well, I got to listen to this album. And
but I got
to listen. I got to listen to a bunch of this music. And so
I'm doing it.
Yeah. So I was like, I'll just play this video game. You know, like that's a good listening to music activity, which is not, yes. I'm not wrong. Like it was, but it definitely was an excuse.
I'm
doing
Zelda.
Research. But it's interesting because like Fidelity is not that she doesn't write love songs, but she doesn't often write love songs, which I think is interesting for a songstress, as it were, for a singer songwriter, a lady singer songwriter, and music in general. A lot of music is like love songs, but like. A lot of her songs, even if it's talking about love, or it's just kind of like she goes about it in a really indirect way.
Yeah, I was gonna say I feel like she does write about love, but more, I don't know, less poppy, like less like saccharine, Hollywood love. She really like she talks about love in very like abstract ways and very real ways.
And she talks about it from her own experience, which I feel like her own experience of love, which it's not centered around the other person. Like the other person is there, but it's like more focused on her internal conflict or her internal feelings about the situation, which I appreciate.
Yeah. I don't want to like compare her too much to like Kate Nash, but I kind of feel similarly about Kate Nash. In that she has these very like almost like very adult ways of talking about love that definitely I said this when we were doing Keen, like listening to Regina Spektor then versus now, like it hits way harder because you're just like, oh, I get what she's talking about in a more understanding way. Like, I'm not saying I've been through what she's been through, but it's just more that I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, I understand, like, what she's talking about now. Whereas as a kid, you're like, this is about pizza.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you know that it's about love, but you haven't gone through it as an adult. You know what I mean? And it's like, they're talking.
You just haven't understood. It on a that more complex level or like, you know, seeing other people gone through it, you know.
You have to go through some things in life to really relate to some of the things that the singer that we were listening to back when we were teens were talking about, you know what I mean? Like, unlike a Blink 182 where it's just like, that is the music of being a teen, like that. Taps into something very direct and teenage, which is odd because they are like 30. You know what I mean? Like they're 30-year-old guys just like talking about very teenage feelings.
Yeah, they specifically talk about being in your early 20s, which I feel like is actually their target like
demo.
Yeah. Yeah. Not even demo, but just like age range of like stuff they're talking about. Just like,
yeah,
I'm an idiot, but also I'm legally allowed to do a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
You're like, yes, that is exactly
how it sure, man.
Feels. But yeah, we'll get to Blink when we get there. But yeah, so what were your, I mean, I definitely know that I listened to Regina Spektor on and off again and have over the years gone back to her a little bit. So this wasn't one that I was like, oh, I haven't revisited this in a long time. Like I'm pretty familiar with all this stuff. So
So there's like certain songs of hers that I've pulled and put onto playlists that like I listen to fairly often. Like Blue Lips from Far is like one that I have on like a feels playlist because that song makes me feel things. Mm-hmm. But I haven't gone back and like listened to her albums recently. I haven't even listened to Fidelity in a long time. And that used to be one of my favorites, but it got, I think it was one of those things where it got overplayed and then I didn't want to hear it. And now and I don't think I've heard it for years. And so like, so I was just like, oh man, this song does fucking bop. You know what I mean? Like this is a good song. And I like, it's a good song, there's some like good lines from it. Like I was saying earlier with like the love songs, this is her like probably like quintessential love song, you know, like and Sarah Bareilles talks about this in I'm Not Gonna Write You a Love Song, you know, like when she wrote that song, it was like her record label was like, you're a lady who writes songs, you know, like you have to write us a love song. Like you have to write us a love song because that's how we're going to be able to sell you. And those end up being like people's, like these women's biggest songs, which is, you know, says a lot about our society. But, you know, like, I'm Not Gonna Write You a Love Song was, you know, Sarah Bareilles is kind of like saying, you know, fuck y'all. If I'm going to write you a love song, it's going to have to, like, it's going to have to come from a real place.
Yes.
And then, like, the rest of her discography is love songs, which kind of gets on my nerves. But
we're but not like, here to hate on Sarah Bareilles.
I don't, like, hate on Sarah Bareilles, but I'm just like, yo, you wrote this song about, like, this kind of, like, protest song, like, I'm not going to write you a love song. And then, like, literally the rest of your discography is, like, here's a love song and another love song and another love song. And it's
well, but maybe, well, first, okay, I have a couple things to say about that. And I don't know any of Sarah Bareilles' music besides her, like, more popular ones. But first of all, maybe those songs are coming from a real place. You don't know.
Yeah, I'm not saying that they're not.
And secondly, I think that also there's a lot of songs, and I know this is, like, something that happens to me a lot that, like, I thought was about love when I was in, you know, when I was a kid and stuff. And, like, listening to it now, I'm like, oh, this is about, like, when your taxes are late. Like, oh, this is about possibly having another world war. Like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
It's, like, something completely. You're like, oh, this is about alcoholism.
It's like when you find out that Neutral Milk Hotel airplane. What is it? That it's like airplane over the sea or whatever.
In an airplane over the sea.
In an airplane over the sea. When you find out that album is about the lead singer being in love with Anne Frank.
Oh my god.
You're just like, wow, okay. And it's about like, you know, Nazi. It's about him like wanting to save Anne Frank's life. It's very weird. Anyway.
Me as a musician. Just like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God. That's very funny. I didn't know that.
That's a true fact. Listen to that with
that context.
With that context.
moving on from Sarah Bareilles.
I will listen to Sarah Bareilles and see her, because I don't not like her, to be clear, but I just like got annoyed that like she wrote this song and then like all the rest of her discography was love songs. I was like, okay,
well.
but I feel like Fidelity, like you know, it's like the first line is, I never loved nobody truly, always one foot on the ground. Mm-hmm. And by protecting my heart truly, I got lost in the sound. You know, like, it's just like, it's all about, and even in the music video, there's not like another guy until the end. Like, she's like, it's like a mannequin that then she breaks open.
Right,
it's a really cool music video.
Right. I forgot
really,
that was the whole
thing. I love that music video. It's just like about the tentativeness to love and like how it's like, you know, like you're the right person. It's you can only open up for the right person, you know, in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
And I don't know. But the rest of her discography, she is, I would say, few songs directly about love. You know what I mean? Like, there's a song on Far that's like called Wallet, and she just writes about like, it's a song, kind of beautiful song, about like finding somebody's wallet and being like, and here's all these pictures of your family, and I found your Blockbuster card, and I'm gonna take it to my local Blockbuster.
Yeah,
you'll never know who I am, but you'll be very happy to have your wallet back. Like, that is the whole song, you know. So, like, she's gonna take it to the Blockbuster, they're gonna look him up and find and call his number, and like, she talks about how she, her wallet is tied together with like a blue rubber band.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, there's a lot of those songs, like, you know, Hotel Song.
She's definitely, I will say, like, she's one of the musicians I consider also to be a poet. Like,
yes,
just her lyrics are definitely poetry. They're just, they're about things that you're like, wow.
Yeah.
Like, I never would have, you know, like, some things are almost so mundane, like, mundane in a way, but, like, the way she puts it is so fucking beautiful that you can't believe you've never thought about it that way before. Like, I mean, one of my favorite songs, I love Soviet Kitsch. I could listen to Soviet Kitsch top to bottom for sure. Chemo Limo.
Yes.
Favorites. One of my the best examples of this on her.
That's the one where it said, where she says
crispy
Benjamin Franklin.
So good. Came over and took care of all four of my kids, I think she says. Talk about a dream that she had. I don't know if that one's based off of reality, if somebody she knew went through cancer maybe or something.
Probably.
She does. She talks about going through chemo in the song. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just like, and then, I mean, then there's songs where she like literally makes dolphin noises.
Mm-hmm.
She's out there, you know, full on singing in Russian.
Yeah, she is Russian. She's
right.
She's Russian Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
And was born in Russia during the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
So she was like a kid during the Soviet Union, and then her family moved to the Bronx when she was like 9.
Yeah. So she mm-hmm. has the range, you know? She literally has the range. Like, she lets her Russian heritage, you know, Russian Jewish heritage really like filter into a lot of her stuff. There's one where she literally, I think it is on Soviet Kitchen now, I forget which song it is, but she literally goes into the in Judaism, but it's like da 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 da
the Megillah Hava one. No,
it's not quite Megillah Hava Megillah, but it's similar. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, she just like fully goes into that for a minute. Yeah. It's like, so it's great, and I feel like, and this happens with a lot of artists. So like, you know, I get it. I understand why. Like, the songs that become popular from them are the very digestible songs. And then, you know, other stuff is maybe not so good or maybe not so like catchy or poppy. But like with her, it's just weirder, but it's still so good. It's still just as good, in some cases better.
Yeah, like Hotel Song is one of my favorites.
I love Hotel Song.
Samson is also one of my favorites. That's also a more digestible one.
I remember you really liking Samson. I think doesn't she say something about cutting like my red hair or something?
Samson came to my bed, told me that my hair was red. He told me it was beautiful and came into my bed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you were like, this is about me.
Yes. I was a child.
Love you.
I wanted it to be about me.
I love you.
I love that line, like, I cut his hair myself one night, a pair of dull scissors in the yellow light, and he told me that I've done all right, and then he kissed me till the morning light. I feel like that song really did define a lot of what I thought love would be like.
Interesting.
And I mean, to a certain extent, I wasn't wrong. I guess. I don't know. On the Radio is a great song. I'm just looking at Begin to Hope right now.
Yeah.
So I listened to that one all the way through. She also, I have to say, like, does a lot of very political songs, you know, mm-hmm. like an Un-America I had forgotten about.
Mm-hmm.
And like that one, was like, she talks about like shooting into the sky or something. Like it's
yeah.
like basically anti-guns.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, I feel like her past and her history and her heritage mm-hmm. and, you know, just coming from like a different perspective and understanding a different way of life. Like,
yeah,
she again, like really lets that bleed into her.
Yeah.
Into her music. Yeah.
Another song that a couple other songs that I completely forgot about on Far, there's like Folding Chair, which I had forgotten about. It's a great song. Mm-hmm. And then Laughing With.
I love Laughing With.
Laughing yeah. With is so good.
Yeah.
I mean, I listen to Blue Lips a lot, but.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I mean, I also really like her. The way that her albums kind of evolve, like there's like a distinct sound to like each of them. Obviously, Soviet Kitsch is like a little bit more raw. There's like
mm-hmm.
more homebrew kind of aesthetic to it. And mm-hmm. then when you said that, that made sense that she had released that herself. Yeah. And then she gets more a little more piano-y because obviously her first instrument was piano. I don't know.
Yeah, well, she was in the Soviet when she was in the Soviet Union. She was being classically trained in piano.
Okay.
So, like, she was her parents almost didn't leave the Soviet Union because they wanted her to continue her piano studies, but she had to like it was just like not safe for Russian Jews.
Yeah.
So they left
mm-hmm.
in the 80s and.
Well, that makes
sense.
And
she had to leave the piano behind. And so, like, she kind of, that was her, she was, you know, that's why she does piano in a lot of her songs.
Yeah. I mean, that definitely makes sense because you can hear it. She's, mm-hmm. like, amazing.
Yeah.
I would love to see her live.
Oh, my God. It would be incredible.
I think that would be pretty amazing. But, yeah, just her evolution of, like, her sound. I feel like she's one of these artists that has both conserved her sound and also evolved with time in a really amazing way. Like, in a way that, like, a lot of artists just don't or can't because they are of their time. You know, and obviously she kind of had her radio moment back in the day, and now she's doing more, I guess she's doing more, like, soundtracky stuff now.
Yeah, there's an album from 2016 that I didn't listen to because I wanted to revisit the other stuff.
Remember.
There's one from 2012, which I didn't see, What We Saw from the Cheap Seats, and then Remember Us to Life, which I haven't listened to. So I'd be interested to check those out.
Yeah, I don't think I've listened to that one. I definitely know What We Saw from the Cheap Seats. There's some really good songs on that. Very, like, very typical for sound where, like, some of it is really, like, poppy and almost sounds upbeat and just like tinkling like piano, and then like some of it gets really dark really fast out of nowhere.
Yeah
that came out, I was in my like first or second year of college, and I remember listening to that a lot during that time because it had just come out, and I was like, oh wow, Regina Spektor.
Yeah, no, she's really good, and I think she has been able to evolve because she's always doing something a little bit more unique, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
A little more like avant-garde, in a way.
That's true. I mean,
than just like the typical.
That's very true. I do, and she's probably one of these artists that's just like always coming up with stuff, like always coming up with ideas. Like I can see.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see her.
Because a lot of that, I mean, like, the wallet one seems like a real story where she just found somebody's wallet and just was, like, sitting at the piano one day and just, you know, tinkled this out.
Right.
You know?
I bet you it is. I bet you it completely is a true story.
And I have to say that is the scientific term for writing a song is tinkling it out. You tinkle out a song.
Yes.
Is what you do.
Yes. Especially when you're writing on the piano, that is.
Yes.
Tinkling it out. Tickling the old ivories, as they say.
Oh, man. But not too much. If they tell you to stop, you should stop, okay? Because consent is important.
Especially with your piano.
That's your creative partner, you know? You don't want to make it weird.
So I guess we can get into Does It Hold Up?
I think
which
so.
I will say 100% resounding yes.
She also is, like, even her political stances in her songs, I think, hold up pretty well to a modern standard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because she's got a lot of, like, anti-capitalist stuff in there.
She's also not somebody that I, like, have seen a ton of interviews with, or, like, she really doesn't do a lot of publicity, doesn't do a lot of PR. Like, I'm sure she does stuff, but, like, you never, like, hear about, oh, there goes Regina Spektor. Like, what is she up to? Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, Regina Spektor is never doing something crazy for attention.
She's just, yeah, she's just bopping around, like, tinkling it out, as you said. And just, yeah, from one project to the next, I guess.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. I mean, she's, like, definitely a, not a rarity, but I don't know, for her to have such notoriety in a certain way and then also be so out of the public.
Yeah, just be private. Light. You know, Janet Jackson does that a lot too, though. Janet Jackson doesn't do a whole lot of interviews, and she just kind of, like, goes right. And does her thing, and then
yeah,
shloop.
But, like, she's had stuff.
She has happen, had stuff, you know. Like, yeah, but she, I mean, Janet Jackson is, like, a bigger
exactly a
much bigger name than Regina Spektor, yeah. is, I would say.
Yeah,
but you know, but, like, you know, like, even like Beyonce, like, there's a lot of these are the ones that I can think of, but there's a lot of people who, like, have intensely private
yeah,
lives.
No, and on a certain level, like, the bigger you are, the more intensely private you attempt to be, because
sometimes
your life is hell, I'm sure.
Occasionally. Sometimes people really want the attention.
Yeah, I feel like that never lasts.
I mean, Ben Affleck and J-Lo right now are really going for it in the limelight.
I feel like they're just leaning into a story.
Yeah.
I feel like those things are always fleeting. Do you know what I mean?
It's so cute, though. I hope they work out. I want them to work out.
I kind of do, too.
They're kind of cute.
I kind of do, too. I was thinking that the other day. I saw that picture of them on the yacht or whatever, and it was like...
Yeah, that's like juxtaposed to the same similar picture from a different... Yeah. From, like, years ago.
And, you know, I guess we just all want to believe that love is real, you know? Because we're all really sitting here being like, really hope that works out. It's like Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis, like... She was, like, 14 or however, like, astoundingly young she was on that show. And he was her first kiss and all this stuff. And now they're married and shit. And it's like, yeah, don't you kind of want to believe that shit just works like that?
Yeah, like, I do. I
don't
truly
you kinda
do.
You
kind of
want to believe in that?
Yeah. I mean, bullshit? Like, here's the thing, too, that I think why people are also rooting for this is, like, J-Lo and A-Rod had, like, a very tumultuous marriage. You know what I mean? Like, he cheated on her all the time. Right. And he was just, like, he's a drug addict.
Yeah.
A friend of mine who is from Florida knows at least one person who did, like, coke with A-Rod. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, it's... He's, like, he's not a stable person and was probably not very great to be married to. So I feel like she is perhaps getting over some trauma, some emotional trauma.
Yeah.
That I'm really rooting that her and
Ben
are, like.
And she's also a likable.
They're good for each other.
Celebrity.
Yes.
Like, you know, she's a very. Personable celebrity who, you know, when she comes on, you're like, oh, it's Jen, you know?
Yeah. It's Jenny from the block.
It is literally Jenny from the block.
Used to have a little, now she has a lot.
What were we talking about?
Does it hold up?
Yeah, no, definitely it does. And I think, cause like when we went over Keen, it was very much like, okay, we still like this, but it definitely was of its time. Like, I feel like Regina Spektor's stuff kind of transcends it. Like, I'm like, this could, maybe it couldn't come out today and still be quite, you know, as popular. Like, if Fidelity, like, was a hit today, I don't, maybe it wouldn't be, because it's just not the pop sound, whatever.
Yeah, we're less into, like, a piano jam now than we were.
Well, listen, trends are trends. But that being said, when you listen to her stuff, it's not like you're, like, immediately like, oh, my God, early mid-2000s. Like, it has a sound that transcends that, especially, like, her especially her stuff that
agreed
wasn't quite as popular.
Yeah, and it's beautiful music. It's gorgeous music. Yeah,
it is. And her voice, like, that was another thing. I was like, oh, I definitely want to talk about her voice. It's just, like I said, she literally has the range. She has, like, this amazing ability to go from insanely high to insanely low. She's got this, like, really haunting voice in a lot of places that she also knows her voice really well and knows how it works with her music. You can teach music, but on a certain level, you can't teach that. Like, you can't, like, she just...
No, that's, like, talent. That's raw talent.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. She just, top to bottom, has raw talent. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's great that she is doing what she's meant to be doing, I think. You know?
Would that we all could be so lucky. Right? No? Yes? Was that right? No.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Was that right? Sure. I don't know.
I don't know.
Is that the phrase?
I don't know what you were trying to say, but yes.
There's, like, a phrase.
Would that this hoodie were a time hoodie. So does it hold up? Yes, absolutely. Like I said, I still Soviet Kitsch, top to bottom for me. I don't know. I mean, maybe there are some skips.
Yeah, Begin to Hope definitely has some skips for me.
I think I always skip Ode to Divorce. I think I always start with Poor Little Rich Boy, and then I just listen to the whole thing.
Yeah,
yeah. Begin to Hope, starts to get really weird in, like, 20 Years of Snow. Après Moi, I think, is where she starts to sing in Russian.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very good.
Whisper has her brother on the track.
Oh, is that her brother?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's very cute.
Yeah, it's all good. There's a few skips on Begin to Hope and Far for me. And I think even on Soviet Kush, I definitely skip Ode to Divorce. That's not where I start the album. For the most part, most of her songs are worth at least a listen.
Oh, yeah. Yes, for sure.
You know?
Like, listen to it once, at least. And then, you know, if you don't vibe, like, skip it the next time. But for sure, it's worth a listen because it's at least interesting.
Yeah, it is at least interesting.
I can guarantee you haven't heard this before.
All of her songs are interesting. And sometimes interesting in a way that vibes and sometimes interesting in a way that doesn't vibe with me. But they're not boring, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So do we think that that Regina Spektor has influenced other artists?
Yeah, this one is harder because I don't know music like that. I can't, like, it's hard to, like, trace. I think I was saying the same exact thing kind of with Keen. Like, it's so hard to kind of directly trace unless you're somebody that, like, studies this or, like, just inherently more.
Or unless it's the Beatles, because then the answer would be yes.
Well, yeah, unless it's, like, the Beatles, the Stones, you know, like Elvis, you know, but, like, even before that, all, you know, all those black musicians that never get credit. So I just feel like unless you're somebody that kind of, like, can more inherently understand that, it's hard to directly trace.
Well, especially with more contemporary artists, because it's like we don't know, you know what I mean? Like, we don't know the effects that Regina Spektor had on people.
Because she's not that long ago?
It's just, like, not that.
Gotcha.
Not that long ago. There probably are, like, modern artists, you know, more contemporary, younger artists that were listening to her, you know?
Yeah.
When they were young. And so, like, that has to bleed in, you know? Like, she was you know, she's not like, she didn't make it like, she didn't make it big, but you know what I mean? Like, not like huge.
No, she definitely had influence and notoriety and still does.
Yeah.
She's on like major motion picture soundtracks and stuff. But yeah, again, she kind of like really interestingly toes that line of like super successful and popular, and yet some people might not even know who she is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's like Kate Nash. Kate Nash too had like a few big hits. And then like, but like all, I think there was like a, truly it was like that sound for a little while was like the in thing. So it was like Sarah Bareilles, Imogen Heap, Ingrid Michaelson, and Kate Nash, you know, it was like all these women with pianos.
Yes.
Well, and Imogen Heap, who was doing a lot of looping stuff.
She was doing a lot of interesting.
But I would still loop her in with like all of these women because she was like, it was, she had a similar vibe of like a
It was the alt pop genre.
Yeah. And it was like, she's like, they've all got like, they're a little bit quirky. They're a little bit more, they talk about like quirkier things. You know, they're not talking about like the same things that, the same like five things that pop stars talk about generally.
Right. Yes, that's why we call them alt. That's the alternative genre. But yeah, no, she definitely was like in that. But that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know that necessarily her stuff could be, could just come out today and be a hit because, like I said, trends are trends. But I also feel like her stuff transcends time. Like, I feel like I don't listen to it and immediately, you know, get walloped back to middle school. Like,
You don't picture low-rise jeans and tons of lip gloss and Coach purses?
No. And I never will. Ever in my life for any reason. Please stop trying to bring back the fucking thousands, please.
Oh, the 2000s was a horrible time
for fashion. Yeah, it was pretty bad. Like, please stop. I did see low-rise jeans on a teen the other day, and I was like, wow.
Kay. Yeah, the Janko jeans were making a comeback for a while, and, like, I would prefer that trend.
The what jeans?
Janko jeans.
The hell is that?
They're, like, the really – they're, like, parachute pants. Like, really wide leg jeans.
Oh, okay, yeah. That was definitely more late 90s, right?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Mid to late 90s.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, I'm specifically thinking of light wash denim, low rise jeans, flare. They come with a belt attached to them that is probably like one of those like jute braided white, has a stripe of pink in it.
Yeah.
Like specifically
Ed Hardy tees.
Specifically what I'm thinking.
Like the little burnout with the little burnouts, you know, like the little burnout tees.
Yeah. Yeah.
With like a tiger on it. Rhinestones.
People are bringing back aspects of it. Like they're doing the low-rise jeans, but then they're also wearing like a very modern like crop top kind of look also with it. Or like that very like peasanty top that's in right now.
Yeah. There's a lot of people out here looking like Buffy the Vampire Slayer these days.
Which is fine, which is legit.
Yeah, that one's that's fine. Or like the charmed ones.
Right. Yeah. All those ladies. Listen. Trends cycle and I get that. It just there are so many things that we do not need to bring back from the 2000s fashion-wise and if we keep digging ourselves into this hole, it's only going to get deeper. So kids, be safe out there. That's all I have to say.
Yeah. Just don't do anything you're going to regret later.
Be safe. Say no to wrap skirts. Say no to the color combination of pink, green, and brown.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, the hot pink, Kelly green, and poop brown. Say no. Just say no.
Absolutely not. And like that one, there's like a blue, there's like a light, like Robin's egg blue.
Yes,
everything was Robin's egg blue. And it's of the blues, probably the worst to wear.
It's not a great, not everybody can pull it off. It is a hard, it's a hard color to wear because it's almost baby blue, but not quite.
Yeah, it's like bright. It's almost neon. It's like somewhere between baby blue and neon.
Yeah, exactly. Like if blue could be neon, that would be.
Yeah, it's be it. It's not good.
It's not good
at all. Say no to full denim outfits too. It's denim head to toe. Although, well, then, say yes to Heelys.
Can we all just agree to wear Heelys? I want to zoom.
I want to zoom around the mall. I just want to, like, be in the mall, and then all of a sudden I'm zooming.
Exactly.
Making old ladies go, slow down! Slow down!
Slow down! But they're also on Heelys.
Yeah. You're going too fast on your Heelys!
They're just going slow. They're just going slower. Oh, man. Grandma's on Heelys.
Good improv team name. Hi, we're Grandma's on Heelys. Can we get a suggestion of anything?
Oh, my God. The fact that you said that at the same time I said that's my band. Where were we? Oh, her influence. I don't know. But I can't say. But I feel like yes. I feel like yes is the answer. I feel like there had to have been people listening to her back in the day that were like, wow, this is amazing. And we're somehow inspired. Like, there's no way that you're not going to, like, listen to that and be like, this is something incredible and different and take inspiration
from. Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, everything. Like, there, you know, most things are an inspiration to, you know, like a lot, if you put art out in the world, it's going to inspire somebody.
True. True as a general statement. Yeah. And I just feel like her sound is unique and special enough and good enough that, like, for sure, I'm sure, you know, she's had influences. So.
Well, and that brings us to the biggie, the big question, which I feel like we've already answered.
Our white whale
is it's a really, it's an elusive question.
Such an elusive, really evades us every time.
Do we still dig this?
Do we still dig this? Are we still doing this? Are we still doing this?
Yes. I would say yes to both of those things. Definitely. I definitely do still dig Regina Spektor.
Yeah. 100%. Like I said, this is not something that I was like, ooh, I haven't. Like, I definitely still listen to her time to time.
Yeah. Absolutely.
She's an artist I think I'll go back to for, you know, maybe my whole life. Who knows? Some of her stuff I just really feel like speaks to me in a way. Crispy, crispy Benjamin Franklin.
Crispy, crispy Benjamin Franklin. Like, is she talking about like a hundred?
Maybe.
You know, $100 bill? Or is she talking about what I pictured, which is a battered and fried Benjamin Franklin, the human being?
Benjamin Franklin, the human being. It's another improv team name. I'm picturing like Benjamin Franklin, the human being, but he's really sunburned. Yeah. He's like got very a crispy. He's got like a tan sunburn.
He's leathery.
He's like peeling a little bit, maybe. Like he just got a sunburn, but also he's tan. So she's like describing him as crispy. I don't know. I don't know what she's talking about.
Or is she like attracted to him and she's calling him crispy because she thinks he's hot? You know what I mean? Like she didn't want to be like that sexy man, Benjamin Franklin.
Sexy Benjamin Franklin. I don't know. Do you call people crispy when you think they're hot?
No, but I might start.
Man, he is looking crispy today.
Am I right, you guys?
That's good, actually. I do like that. That's really good.
I'm feeling really crispy today.
I'm feeling crispy today, guys. I'm not going to lie to you. I think we should go out later because I'm feeling really crispy.
I'm feeling
today.
Real crispy. I think it works.
It kind of does. It like rolls off the tongue. Feels mm-hmm. good to say. I think that that's really what it was when she was writing it. She was like, crispy, crispy. Just sounds nice, and I like saying it, so I'm going to say it.
Yeah, I'm going to sing this, and it's going to be great, and no one's going to know what it means, and that's fine. I am picturing, like, a battered and fried Benjamin Franklin on a mm-hmm. stick.
Yeah, that's good, too.
Like a carnival food, but shaped like Benjamin Franklin. Shaped like
Benjamin, okay. Mm-hmm. If you go to, like, a Revolutionary War-themed carnival, and they just had Benjamin Franklin on a stick. On that note.
So yeah, we still dig this. Great.
Yeah, I would say anybody who hasn't, you know, really experienced her music, like, please just go at least listen to it once. If you decide it's not for you, I get that. But, like, please, just, I need you to hear the words crispy, crispy Benjamin Franklin and know that she is a genius.
She is a genius.
Soviet Kitsch is probably my favorite. Far is probably my second favorite. Then probably Begin to Hope.
I think I might be reverse order to you. Mm. Although I didn't listen fully to Soviet Kitsch. I listened to the songs that I like off of there.
I just feel like as an album, like, you know, start to finish, kind of, yeah, really, like, as a full set of music, it's just, it's yeah, my personal favorite. I don't think it's her, I don't necessarily think it's her best or anything. It just, it's personally my favorite. And the one that I probably go back to the most. Like, there's songs off of Far, Begin to Hope, and What We Saw from the Cheap Seats that I go back to every now and then, but Soviet Kitsch, like, as an album, I enjoy the most.
Yeah, I would say that Begin to Hope probably has most of my favorite songs of hers. So Begin to Hope is probably my favorite, although I agree with you as a, there's a lot of skips on Begin to Hope for me. And then it's probably Soviet Kitsch and then Far.
Yeah. I don't know that I know this one called Baobabs.
Which one? Oh.
It's off of the like extended Begin to Hope.
Yeah.
It's like Baobabs. Baobabs?
Yeah, I listened to that one.
Yeah.
I can't remember which one that is, but I remember being like, oh, this is kind of good.
They're all kind of good.
Yeah.
They're all kind of good.
She's very talented.
Yeah.
It's not a lot, you know, like there are skips when I'm just like not vibing with that vibe in the moment. When I'm not vibing with the vibe.
When I'm not vibing with the vibe. You know, sometimes you're just not vibing with the vibe.
That's kind of how I feel about life sometimes. It's like, I'm not vibing with the vibe.
That is the vibe.
The vibe is to not vibe with the vibe.
Don't think about it too hard. It just is.
Anyway.
But yeah, I would say overall, those are my feelings. 100% recommend to anyone.
Hell yeah. Yeah, she's great. Go listen. If you haven't listened, go listen. And then check out the Fidelity music video. It's very good.
Yeah. I'm also really glad that she still does stuff. Like, yeah. You know, is still like actively producing music.
Yeah. Every now and then. Her last album was like 2016. So she's just kind of like.
Well, I mean, just like, you know, she did the Orange is the New Black theme song. Like she's done some soundtracks now. Yes. Like, I'm just glad that she's still around out there doing stuff.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, people, I mean, she's got a distinct sound.
Yeah, exactly.
And it does fit in a lot of like contexts, mm-hmm, as like a, to set a mood.
She has the range. Mm-hmm.
She has the range.
She literally has.
Well, this was lovely. I think we've said all the things.
I think we've said all the things.
I think we've said everything that we've ever needed to say.
Pretty much. So this is the last episode.
Yeah, goodbye.
Bye, everyone.
But
goodbye forever.
Goodbye forever. We won't miss you. Just me. No, I'm going to cut that out.
Please leave it in.
Anyway, thank you for listening, you guys. And it was lovely this was lovely. How do we end this? How do we usually end?
I miss your face.
I miss your face.
I'm sorry. Our iconic catchphrase, yeah. I miss your face.
Yeah, One of these days, a catchphrase will come to us.
It's not going to come. It's always
It's going to be like, I miss your face.
Well, I do.
I miss your face.
So.
Kisses. All right. Well, I love you.
Love you, too.
I'll talk to you. Talk to you soon. Okay. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye-bye. This has been a G-Squared production. Your hosts, Georgia Gove and Grace Wolver. You can find us on all the social medias at StillDigThisPod. Our producer is Irem Dogan-Kali, and our music is Banana Snacks by Demon Garden. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
This show has been brought to you by Machine Culture.